Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's expanding global digital trade ties. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. Today, we will be discussing India's expanding global digital trade ties. To delve deep into the subject, I am now joined by Mr. Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst. Mr. Bhattacharji, welcome to Akashvani.
Happy to be here.
India's digital trade is an important component of the Indian economy, and the revenue from IT ecosystem of India exceeds $280 billion and exports of $225 billion in the financial year 2024-25. And the sector also employs more than 60 lakh people. So at the very outset, Mr. Bhattacharji, can you take us back to the reforms and policies which have helped in strengthening the digital trade ecosystem and achieving such big numbers?
That's an interesting thing to talk about. So this has not happened overnight. It has taken time to develop. There are lots of things that we have managed to do. The big thing that we have done is, the first of all, is obviously the development of the UPI infrastructure. And that is a very big thing. Simultaneously, what has also happened is that over the years, so there are two parts to it. One is that is the UPI infrastructure, and which creates a very interesting export commodity for us. But the larger story, even beyond that, and even earlier on, is the fact that India, since for quite some decades, has been pushing services trade in digital issues. So what has happened is that some of the brightest stars in the digital trade have been making inroads into the global market using two things. One is an exceptionally good talented workforce. The other is the fact that there has been, India has had a very comfortable lead in being able to speak English. And the third thing is that India has been able to provide a very stable tax and a fiscal policy, especially in the last few years, in the digital trade. As a result, India has been able to take a pole position in this situation. Allied to it, recently what we have done is that we have written very interesting free trade agreements. We have written a very robust legal framework, which is at the top of it, which is the Digital Personal Data Protection Act of 2023. And we have essentially given foreign investors the confidence that this is the market and this is the center from where a lot of digital good work can be worked out. And some total of it is that we have the pole position in digital trade.
Mr. Bhattacharji, your answer brings me to my next question, and you spoke about the free trade agreements and the free trade agreements with UAE, UK and the European Union, each one of which includes a digital trade chapter as a key component. In these agreements, India has effectively safeguarded its interests while securing the market access. So could you precisely talk about the digital trade chapter, which is being stated as the key component?
So as I can see now, what is the digital process in which India is very keen on basically is about a condition where the biggest advantage can be drawn by the largest number of people. So on e-commerce, for instance, India has supported the work program of WTO, but the critical issues are addressing problems of digital divide among countries, securing and ramping up the digital infrastructure and the skills and the regulatory frameworks to ensure that all countries, not just the developed countries, but developing countries and especially the least developed countries, have the tools to build their own digital futures. Now, this is something which is very important, because as of now, despite, I mean, it being almost obvious, there has been no consensus among the membership. So this is something that while India supports it, but the issue about digital tax, the issue about work program on e-commerce, these will all have to be taken up at the next meeting of the General Council in Geneva.
So, Mr. Bhattacharya, initially you had also spoken about the Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023, which has established a strong data privacy framework. So, in your opinion, how has it helped in giving a boost to digital trade?
Digital trade needs, as we said, a widespread offer across countries. It needs us to be able to reach out across regions. And one of the most important part of the digital, what I should say, digital phenomena is that digital trade would depend on inter-country coordination. Now, if we talk about the free trade agreements that we are signing, one of the important things that's happening there is, while the government of India is firmly committed to expanding digital trade partnerships, and towards that, it has already concluded trade agreements with several countries. But the big thing is that more and more countries need to come on the same sort of a understanding. So essentially, let me put it this way. As we just discussed, in the WTO, the work program on e-commerce has not moved, and it will wait for the next meeting of the General Council. Meanwhile, there is dissonances from other places. So what India is now trying is to develop digital trade partnerships one-to-one with countries. So we have already got three free trade agreements, those with which we can mention, which is the one with the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, and the European Union, and each of which includes a digital trade chapter as a key component. So you can see that digital trade will now be developed globally, the model, the way India is doing, in which each country signs deal with the other country. And I suppose in the absence of a global harmonized standard, that is the best way to go about it.
Also, Mr. Bhattacharya, now I would like to delve a little onto the UPI payment system also. So we have spoken about the global digital trade ties and global digital trade ecosystem. Now I would like to divert our discussion to UPI, which is now live in over 8 countries, which includes UAE, Singapore, Bhutan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, France, Mauritius, and Qatar. And it has positioned India as a global leader in digital payments. So, in your opinion, how is the growing international adoption of UPI boosting the Indian economy, and how is it contributing towards the Indian economy?
What we are finding is that the UPI, when we started out, was as an experiment. But now, it has developed into a very robust movement and a very more robust payment system. So across modes, India now, for instance, works on, I mean, like people, lots of parts of India, people do not use cash. They simply use UPI, you know, the QR code. That becomes the most easily obtainable, the most easily recognizable thing in India. So like even the poorest person understands how to travel, I mean, how to use the QR code as part of their work styles. And that's a significant change, because instead of using cash, people understand that this is how it should be done. That's a very remarkable development, because it has helped us to create an ecosystem where people are not, what I should say, hampered by the fact that they have to use cash, or they have to keep lots of other things that goes along with it to be able to use their business. They can directly straightforward work into the money economy by just using UPI. So it facilitates, especially for the poorest people, a huge opportunity which would not have been possible otherwise.
Very lucid explanation, Mr. Bhattacharya. In fact, I would also like to inform the listeners that UPI has emerged as world's largest real-time retail payment system and accounting for 81% of retail digital payments in the financial year 2024-25. So I would like to understand the factors that are responsible for driving this change.
So the UPI movement that happened did not happen by accident, and it happened because of the government's steadfast, what I should say, concentration and focus on developing this movement. So the first stage, what happened is everybody, all Indian, was given an Aadhaar identity. Now that itself is a very big thing. 1.4 billion people got an identity, got an Aadhaar identity. At the next stage, as you would remember, there was this system of what we call the Jandhan's bank account movement, where every adult Indian got a bank account. And those bank accounts were linked to the Aadhaar. So a connectivity system was established between the bank account and people's identity without having to go in for too many complicated ways of recognizing who's dealing with the bank. At the third level, banks themselves got linked to each other using the Aadhaar bridge. So all transactions among banks with respect to individuals got mediated through the Aadhaar system. The fourth system was that the Aadhaar, that this allowed the bank infrastructure to be linked to all sorts of business, right from the smallest vendor to the biggest enterprises. Everybody was connected with banks, so people didn't have to create their own bridge, their own networks to be able to transact their finances with a bank using a very specific system created by that bank. It was a universal system created across India, and the example of that is the QR code. When we make a payment on the QR code, when anybody makes a payment on the QR code, they don't really have to think that there has to be a separate bank account, there has to be a separate identity. It is all linked under a very common system of operation. So there's not even any need for anybody to press a number. Even that digital literacy is that part, even that has been taken care of by simply what is called visual literacy. And this powerful combination has allowed us to create a payments network which is now being sought to be replicated in lots of countries across the world.
Mr. Bhattacharya, since we are progressing towards the end, I would like to have a closing comments on, again, the global digital trade ties. So are there any further probable countries with which India is in pipeline of finalizing any such FTA, and where this particular digital trade has been kept in mind?
Well, surprisingly, our interim trade agreement with USA includes the digital issue. You'll be surprised to know, and Akashvani listeners will actually often be pleased to know, that India's digital infrastructure is actually more sophisticated than many countries. In fact, I should say all countries. As a result, there is lots that many countries have to sort of, you know, ramp up their identity systems to be able to do business on the UPI platform with India. For instance, Indians, when they go abroad, they're often surprised that they can't just use a QR code to make the payment. So all of these things have become very, very... So India is keen, but at the same time, what is also happening is that India is having to export its digital network, its digital infrastructure, its knowledge, skill set to the other countries.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bhattacharya, for sparing your valuable time and giving us such deep insight on India's expanding global digital trade ties.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to a discussion on India's expanding global digital trade ties. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.